Chapter 5. I've really been blessed to go through this material. So much depth to what God had recorded here that, you know, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface in some of these areas, and certainly that's all we're doing, but it's wonderful to see. So today, the section we're going to look at in Ephesians 5, part of Ephesians 5, the walk of the believer. We closed off in Ephesians 4, where we were talking about putting on the new man because of the one new man that God made with Christ as the head, and that everybody in the body then puts on what that means, and by putting on the new man. We learned of the walk of the mystery, where it talks about considering members one of another, giving to those in need, ministering grace, all the things that, you know, God wasn't just saying don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. He did it because now then he wants us to reach out and bless the members of the one body, to give, to minister grace onto the hearers. There's a reason for all that. Walking with a tender heart, putting away, dispensing with bitterness, wrath, and anger, and being always ready to forgive because we've been forgiven. All those things that God talked about by putting on, and then a reminder of God's blessings to the church. All the things that God gave through Christ to bless the church so that the church will be blessed. Again, all these things that God writes here, you know, you could, again, I'll remind you again every week, look at this. It's not some laundry list to put a burden on the believer. It isn't, because if you recognize these things are being written here because of the place that you have in the body of Christ, and that it's God's desire that you do this because it will bless you. It's His desire is always you, to bless you. And then as you're blessed, guess what? Everybody else in the body of Christ gets blessed. And that's His desire, that the body gets built that way. So it's not some kind of burden. It's the best for us. And I certainly think God knows what's best for His people. And that's why I had recorded here. Ephesians 5:1. So all these things, and then says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, so does that mean that He wants us to create the heavens and the earth? And wants us to, what's that referring to? Well, it says, you know, there's a lot of references in God's word. It says God is kind to the unthankful. You know, when Jesus Christ said, love the unlovable, love those who despitefully use you. To imitate, the word imitate is the word mementes, we get the word mimic from that. Mimics or imitators of God. It's the same word where Paul says, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. So he was a follower of Christ, now he says be a follower of God. Christ always did what God told him to do. So it lines up, right? God gives the direction, Christ does that, and we do what Christ does, and we follow God. It all lines up perfectly. But, you know, kind of the unthankful. Malice. God doesn't have malice in His heart for people, for His people. No, not at all. So God is tender. He gave us when we least deserved it, right? When we were sinners, He forgave us. So He says, be imitators. So, you know, we have no reason to have wrath, malice, blasphemy towards anybody, not just in the body of Christ, but anybody. Why would you want to walk that way? You know, in fact, the entire world is full of that stuff, aren't they? You see around you wrath, malice, blasphemy, anger, filthy communication. We'll see all these things. It's all around you. Why would we as believers in the body of Christ ever want to walk that way? We don't. So God says, look, be followers of me. And walk in love, verse 2, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ gave Himself for us. To walk in love is to give yourselves for others. That's what, you know, it's, you kind of can just skip over that. Walk in love the way He gave Himself for us. Well, then, if I consider my life to be more important than yours, that's not exactly what Christ did, is it? See, Philippians says, think on the things of others before your own. So to love and to give on behalf of others, that's a tall order, isn't it? Right? We'll see later, and if you know about the husband and wife relationship, not today, but how, you know, the husband is to think of the wife first, his wife first, before him. Think of others before yourself. That's what Christ did. Did Christ consider Himself first? No. He thought of others. And that's how that's the call. And we learned about the breadth, length, and depth, and height, you know, the mystery, the new man, the temple, all those things to walk that way. That love is so big, is you know, words fail to describe it. In this section in Ephesians, we're going to see it talks about six aspects of a walk. Three of those we'll have in verse 2, walk in love. Verse 8 talks about walk as children of light. And then verse 15 talks about walking circumspectly. So, you know, here you see the word walk used quite often. So you see why it's the practical application of what we've learned. And then we also see walk on the negative side. We'll see three things that are actions, if you will, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. And then we're going to see three things that are having to do with speech, filthiness, foolish talking, or jesting. Right? So things you do, things you say, how not to walk, and then the aspects of how we are to walk. So you can watch for those. Now, verse 3, but fornication, here it is, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know, the word fornication is an interesting word. It's the word porneia. I think you know what words we get from that in the world. It talks about illicit sexual behavior. Thayer wrote something neat. He said, how leniently converts from among the heathen regarded this vice and how lightly they indulged in it. This was hundreds of years ago. Do you think it's gotten any better today? Today, marriage is a thing of the past, right? It's just do whatever you want with whoever you want to do it, whenever you want, and don't worry about the consequences. And God says, no, that's not for the believer at all. Fornication in the Bible can also refer to idolatry, right? That's another thing that's used for. Uncleanness is moral impurity. Bullinger says, this word is comprehensive, hence it is the genus of which porneia or dissoluteness are only species. So this is the low level uncleanness. And on top of that, that genus of uncleanness, you can do all kinds of things that God says, no, you don't do that. Dissoluteness is having no concern for moral restraints. None. I know, I've met people like that. They have absolutely no care for morality whatsoever. They don't care who gets hurt. Greedy desires, covetousness. You know, all these things are, how hurtful are these things within the body of Christ? Hurtful everywhere, no question. But here are the context. You know, it says, we're not to walk that way, because that would really be hurtful. You know, it's also interesting that when we first read Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm just going to quote that verse to you in Ephesians 1. This is talking about, it says, you don't have to go there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Here, to saints and the faithful, God is saying, to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, don't walk this way. You see how much of a temptation it is, even to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, that God would have to write this. It's a temptation. Don't ever think you are beyond the temptation. You could say, yeah, I'll never do that. Well, be cautioned, you know. The reason you can think that way is because you can find your strength in Christ Jesus, not because you're so brave and strong. Right? It has to be through Christ. Remember, the life flows downwards. Never forget that. That imagery, the life flows downwards, and we do what we're told to do, and things build and work. If I just decide, oh, I'm going to do this on my own, then you'll get burned, and you will burn out, and you'll get tricked and deceived. But if we follow the head, Christ, and then here it says, verse, let it not be once named among you. That's kind of a neat way of saying it. Don't even think about it. Verse 5. 4. Neither filthiness, here's those words, filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I won't have to go into too much detail about what filthiness or foolish talking or jesting is. You know, sometimes life is just a joke for some people. Everything is just a joke. It's just nothing to be taken seriously. You know, or inconvenient jesting, making jokes at the wrong time, or mocking people, and all those things. Just God says there's just no room for it. It's interesting, the alternative is what? Giving of thanks. So that means living with a thankful heart must be a way to avoid these things. You know, if you're thankful for all that God has done for you, you know, the temptation to, you know, speak filthiness or foolish talking or jesting is minimized, because all those things are selfish. You don't avoid, you don't get selfish if you're thankful, right? If you're thankful, you're not going to be selfish, because you're just thankful for all that God has blessed you with. It avoids greediness to be thankful, because you're thankful for what God has blessed you with. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content, it says in Timothy, right? So if we walk that way, then we're not going to have the temptation to do that. And there's more on this later in the chapter. Verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, the word is fornicator again, nor unclean person, see those words being thrown around, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. At this point, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians. So keep your fingers here. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's another reference to this very same thing in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It says, know ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So here in Corinthians, right, you know, that's what you used to be. And here in Ephesians, we're talking about, let's not put on that same kind of behavior again, okay? That's what we used to be. Such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So when you get born again, you're no longer that. And all things are lawful unto me. That's the interesting thing. Paul writes here, you can do whatever you want because you do not lose your salvation. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient or profitable. All things are not a blessing. Surely you can do what you want, but it's not a blessing. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Because I'm not going to allow those things to rule my life and make me live in a way that God tells me that I ought not to live. Now that I have been seated in the body of Christ, with Christ as my head, I take my direction from Him, and I'm not going to walk that way. And so here, so now, you know, when you're born again, you're not going to lose your salvation. So here back in Ephesians chapter 4, no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You never lose your salvation, but if you're not born again, you're not going to have an inheritance. But if you are born again, you're going to lose the rewards for walking that way. That's what it's talking about. You don't lose your salvation, but your rewards are always hanging in the balance by your walk. And that's where the adversary would like to do much as he can to possibly concentrate his efforts in your life and my life. Because he knows he can't undo the salvation, although he will try to convince you of that as well. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These are all characteristics we just read, are all characteristics of the sons of disobedience. And here God says, look, don't let them talk you into it. Don't let them talk you into walking that way. You know, and they're going to try. Isn't everything accepted today? It's okay, don't worry about it, don't worry about the consequence, everything is acceptable. Right? In Colossians, God puts it a little bit more succinctly, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward. See that? Not salvation. You can lose your reward by walking that way. That's what he's saying here. Never lose your salvation. So God says here, don't let them talk you into it. You know, and however, whatever area any believer has weakness, and whatever that weakness is, certainly you're susceptible to the attack. You know, we learn from the attacks on Jesus Christ's life. When he was hungry, he offered him bread. You know, why? Because he was hungry. So if you have a weakness in an area, you know, remember, and we'll read it in Ephesians 6, right, where it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's how you sustain and withstand. Be strong in the Lord, not your ability, but to stand in the strength of he who is the head of the body to which you belong. You know, you feel safe in that, don't you? You kind of feel safe in that imagery of Christ the head, we're the members, we're well taken care of. And if we walk that way, it's certainly a way to avoid all this stuff. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know, previously, and we read it a little bit later here too, not even to talk about these things or walk away. Well, partaking is certainly going beyond that, isn't it? Not only are you just thinking about it, now you become sharers together with those things. And guys, you don't know, there's no room for that in the body of Christ. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Exactly the same as he said in Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling you've been called to. We're to walk that way. What verse are we in here? 8, right? It says, you are light, so walk as children of light. It doesn't say that you... It says you are the light. You are the light. If you recognize the importance of your life to this world, you know, some people might think that a doctor who invents a cure for some, brain disease is really, really wonderful, benevolent, can do much for the world, or someone invents this or invents that. They say, God says, you are light. Recognize the importance of your life. You may think, I don't know very much, or I'm only a little bit. It doesn't matter. You are light. You are light, and God says, you walk that way because the world needs your life. The world needs what you understand and know. The adversary will, I was reading Corinthians this morning, I'm talking about how we get caught up in sorrow and all things, the world, and the adversary brings to you all these things that try to make you devalue yourself and make you feel like you don't know very much, or what purpose can you have in life. And God says, you're the light. You are light. And says, you are my children, God says. You are light. Now you walk like my children. What an impact that your life can have on everybody you come across. Every single word you speak, everywhere you go, you are light. So God says to walk that way in verse 8. Do we just talk about the same things that everybody else talks about in life every day? Do we get involved or worried or complain about the same things that people make, do we make fun of the same things at work that people make fun of? I've been very cautious in my life. I don't ever make fun of marriage. We joke about things, sure, but when people, I've heard people talk about it seriously. They make fun of, I can't wait to get away from my wife or do all this. Well, I'm not even going to take part in that conversation, because that's not what the Word of God says. So why would you say that? This is one example. But if we as believers talk about the same things and make fun of the same things, the foolish jesting and talking and all this life, how are we standing out as being any different? How are we shining as lights, though, as the Word says? How are we light to the world if all we speak about, that's why it's interesting, God uses three things about voice, speech, things you say. We're the ones who are supposed to bring hope, light, deliverance, salvation, blessing, peace, all these things that Christ is to us. That's what ought to be on our mouths. I don't mean we go around preaching scripture to everybody all the time. But, there's certain simple ways to change conversations. And a lot of times, I'm going to take a statistical guess, more than 90% of the time, it'll fall on deaf ears. And they'll just say, kind of laughing, But the one time it hits a chord, that's all you're counting on. How much is the value of one soul, right? So we just speak. We're light. God says it. I'm not saying God says it. You're light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, and the word here, the word is not spirit here. Actually, the word is light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And that's what accompanies your words when you speak. Goodness, righteousness, truth. And that's what you become known as. When God speaks, boy, isn't it great? It's righteousness, it's truth. That's what I want to hear. People might say they want to hear the sarcasm and all these other things. And generally the people who are in that, it's just a little bit of a facade. They're putting on a bit of a show, because behind that, there's no real hope. There's no real peace. Isn't sarcasm the way of the world today? Everybody's sarcastic. Everybody's always making fun and complaining. I can see the humor in some of that too. I'm not, but a lot of times it's covering over a heart that is without hope and without God in the world. And your words are the words that are going to bring that righteousness, goodness, truth. Again, you know, we're part of the body of Christ. We got to walk that way. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable or well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, we used to have an expression years ago. You say, you know, people walk the way most Christians walk. People would say, I wouldn't want to go to church with you. You know, people are depressed. They're downhearted. They have the same problems as everybody else. They don't know how to bring deliverance to people. No, we say, well, I wouldn't want to go to church with you. I wouldn't go to church with someone like that either. Why would somebody want to listen to you if or me if I'm just saying the same things everybody else is saying? There's no reason. Verse 11, 12. Let's go to 11. And have no fellowship, here it is, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I want to read you Corinthians, having no fellowship. This also comes up in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. First Corinthians 5:9, which is, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. The only way to completely avoid fellowship with these such kinds of people is to leave the world. Which means that the world is full of a lot of covetousness, fornication, extortion, idolatry. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat. You know, so do you think that people in the body of Christ have those challenges? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so God says here in verse 11, back to Ephesians 5, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's, you know, within the body of Christ, you know, but rather reprove them. We speak God's word. It's a shame even to speak of those things that are done in secret. We don't even want to talk about it. Remember we looked at Proverbs, I think it was last week? Turn around, walk away. Don't even go there. Don't even look down the road. Don't even turn that page. Don't even click that link. Turn around, walk away. That's God's exhortation. If even talking about it is something, how about getting involved in it? Remember Lot? What does it say about Lot? You know, when they saw the plain of Jordan, you know, Abraham said, hey, Lot, which way do you want to go? You want to go this way or that way? And if you go that way, I'll go this way. And if you go that way, I'll go this way. And so he picks the fertile valley of the Jordan. And he says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. But eventually, when he had pitched his tent towards Sodom, after a while, he was sitting in the gate of Sodom as one of the guys who was, like, you know, so more and more getting involved with the things that were happening in Sodom, until God had to send angels there and grab him by the hand, and it says, by grace, to pull him out of there. That's what happens when we get involved and get involved and get involved. And God says, it's not even, you shouldn't even be talking about this. And this is a huge topic in the world today. Because this world is fascinated with evil. You know, I'm telling you, some of the stuff you see and some of the trailers for movies, it's unbelievable how accurate spiritually some of those things are on the evil side. And the world is fascinated by it. They just can't get enough of evil and death and all these things. Doesn't the world soar into death and evil? God says, don't even talk about those things. Verse 12, to shame, the word shame there means to be, it's indecent or dishonorable, disgraceful. When you find yourself talking about it, remember Ephesians, you know what? This is disgraceful. Let's go back to righteousness, truth, and light, and avoid that stuff. That's God's word. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the lights, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so here's the solution to the problem. If you have a problem and there's darkness dwelling in your own personal life, or you know, in somebody else's life, the solution is what? Introduction of light, the Word of God. If I know I have a problem in an area of my life, let's say, you know, I don't know, what's whatever problem. Let's say I have a greediness problem or whatever. Well, I can go to God's word and say, what does the word of God say about that? What can I specifically think? What can I specifically put my mind around to eliminate that in my life? Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's whatever. You know, we all know our own lives. God says, you have a problem. It's a light that makes manifest. It's a light that gets rid of darkness. You know, they tell you, I think it's Alcoholics Anonymous, right? They used to say, you know, you say for the rest of your life, you know, every morning you wake up, I'm an alcoholic, right? Is that what they say? Dale, is that right, Dale? I don't remember. But I think they tell you, I'm not saying you're an alcoholic. That's not what I was implying. I asked Dale, because Dale usually knows everything. So, you know, I... But they say, you know, you have to admit to yourself you're an alcoholic for your whole life. Well, does it help me to admit myself? Oh, what it helps me to admit is Christ is my Lord. You know, I've been delivered from this. I'm not going to admit that. I'm not going to say that. You know, what is the word? Let the word of God in. Let the light dispel the darkness in our lives. So that's a great. Remember Philip of Samaria? What did he went in there and preached Christ? What happened? Man, you can almost see the spirits coming out of that town. The word of God spoken, deliverance, blessing, because the light came in. And a lot of examples of that in the word of God. Verse 14. And wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, a lot of references in this verse about, they used to live in the city of the dead. That's sort of that word dead means. Instead of living among the dead, God says, let the word of God in, and Christ shall let the light in. You know, wake up! You know, this is again to believers in the body of Christ, faithful in Christ Jesus. And God says, wake up, let the light of Christ, you know, to be in. All the blessings of life are tied up in Christ. He is our life. Wake up and understand that. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So God says, don't stay anywhere else but in Christ. You know, any life outside of Christ is death. Verse 15. See then, there's this next part of the walk. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly, actually, read you. Weymouth says, buy up your opportunities, for these are evil times. Circumspectly is a word that's associated with a word that means when you're mountain climbing. You know, you look, you can't really kind of wing it when you're mountain climbing. You can't make a mistake when you're mountain climbing because you won't be mountain climbing, you'll be free falling. So God says to walk accurately. Never fall asleep at the switch. Another way of thinking about it. Constantly alert, you know, in your life. First thing in the morning, you know, Peter was praying, you know, you can be lying in bed, you can speak in tongues, you know, you can, last thing at night, what do you think about at nighttime? What do you think about in the morning? What do you think about when you're walking around? What do you think about when you're driving? Circumspectly means circumspectly, you know, you're always attuned to what's happening in your life. It's that important. You know, the hardest thing, this is one of the hardest callings that you will ever get in your life is to walk with God. It's not a joke. It's not easy. Right? But it's the best and the highest and holy privilege there is to walk with our Father God. And God says, you want to walk with me? You got to walk circumspectly. You take heed to your life. A lot of places the word says, be sober, be vigilant. And all these words are used. You take care of your personal life. What do you think about? What do you allow in? What do you fellowship with? You know, what are you talking about? What are you getting involved with? Circumspect. You know, be very careful. It's an evil age. Sometimes people think grace is a reason to not be diligent. Grace is not an excuse to lack diligence in your life. Grace allows us to be very diligent. Paul says, because of grace, he worked more harder than anybody. So grace allows us this privilege to walk. It's not some kind of tight walk. You can't make a mistake. I don't mean that. You know, we know that. It's not about that. You're not going to lose your salvation. It's not about that. You know, it's about being careful about your life and being very understanding the importance of your life to God and your part in the body of Christ, and how just important and vital you are to all that God has planned for this administration and that which is to come. Don't forget the value of your life. It's that important. And we have all these, you know, codes of valor among the Navy SEALs and the Marine Corps and all these things people get really, really excited about. How about walking with the Creator of the heavens and the earth? You tell me there's anything more important and higher of privilege in life than that? It doesn't exist. So make the best use of your time. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise. So it would be unwise to not redeem your time, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wow. So you're telling me time understanding God's will is time spent wisely. It's pretty simple, right? Time understanding God's will is time spent wisely, according to God here in Ephesians. In fact, he says it will be foolish not to do so. Now, someone would say, well, you spend time reading the Bible? You spend time in your private life when you could be, you know, out partying or drinking or whatever, or, you know, watching horror films? You spend time reading God's Word? You guys fellowship? You guys get together on Sunday and talk about God's Word? What a waste of time. And God says it's foolish not to spend time understanding, whether it's a fellowship or reading your Word, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but it's foolish not to understand His will. This lines up with thinking of that verse in Romans, is reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to reckon yourselves dead but alive unto God? What does that mean? Well, time understanding that would be time well spent if you don't know what it means. How about other verses? What does that mean? Well, why don't you spend time understanding it? And then you can tell me what it means. And I can tell you, and we can tell one another. See, time understanding God's word is time well spent. It's wise. It's not foolish. It's time well spent. I'm gonna give you a reference to Banner Brothers. Okay. I don't know if you ever watched Banner Brothers, but there's this one scene where, I'll never forget this line, because it really makes me think of God's word. But there's a scene where the guy's really, really injured. What they've done is they've injected him with 3 syrettes of morphine. And you're not supposed to do more than 1 or something like that. So the guy says, I looked up the quote. He says, he was in a lot of pain, doc. We didn't know what to do. And he says, well, you ought to know. Right? You're officers, you're grown-ups, you ought to know what to do. Right? I think of believers. You know, how can I get out of this situation I'm in? Well, you ought to know how to help somebody. Right? I got this injury. I can't deal with this. Well, you ought to know as believers how to help them. I always think of that line. It kind of blessed me. He's like, you know, as a believer, because that's why God says in the last time, like, God says, grow up. And here he says, wake up. You know, grow up. Wake up. Walk with the maturity of Christ in your life. Doesn't matter how little you know, how old you are. Doesn't matter. You can walk with that maturity because as believers, we ought to know how to help people. We ought to know what the solutions to life are. I don't want to walk through the rest of my life saying, well, I don't know, I'm just a Christian, what can I do? And all that's just not God's way. Now, and if you don't know, you certainly are in touch with He who does, Christ. And He's the head of the body. You think He might have some solutions? You think God might have some answers to help you with? So, you know, don't ever feel afraid to just jump right in and say, I can help you, whether you don't even know what the heck to do with that situation. God does, you know. So next time you watch Banner Brothers, remember that. We ought to know. There's no excuse from God's word, right? If you want to be an expert in your life in something, why not be an expert in this right here? Okay, I'm going to think of another TV reference here. I think I shared this before. I remember when I was growing up in Nova Scotia, there used to be an ad on TV. I remember those ads. They used to have these ads about the Mormons all the time on TV. And there was one ad, I'll never forget. This is 40 years ago now, so it must have obviously stuck with me. But they had this guy running. I think I told Todd before. The guy was running on a treadmill. And then there was a guy lifting weights. And there was a guy doing push-ups and sit-ups. You know, and then all of a sudden you see his Bible fall on the table. Thump. And says, given that a workout lately? I was like, wow, never forgot it. So you want to be an expert? This is something well worth your time. You may not get the, accolades and the blessings in this life for having done that, but I guarantee you, in that one, you will. All right. So it's good to think about. Okay, almost done. Verse 18. Yeah. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Different kind of Spirit, eh? In those days, they used to get involved in all kinds of revelings with the god Bacchus was an example. He used to be the god of fertility, then became the god of wine, and they would get drunk in their orgies and do all kinds of stuff. And God says, you're filled with Holy Spirit. You walk this way. You don't get into that kind of stuff. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Remember Deuteronomy? God told them about the way back, it reminds me of the verse in Deuteronomy where it says, when you get up in the morning, you talk to your children. When you go to bed at night, you talk to your children about this. And you mention to them, this happened in Egypt, and then we got out of here, and God blessed us. And you're always talking about the Word of God and how blessed we are to know Him. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It says in Corinthians, I will sing with the Spirit. You can sing in tongues. Again, we were talking about tongues earlier in the prayers. You can sing in tongues. You don't have to be in tune. You can just sing in tongues and enjoy spiritual songs. This is to be our lifestyle, making melody in your heart to the Lord instead of all those things that we get in, the other people in the world get up with. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Never to forget the source of all the blessings that we have, giving thanks for all things. And the Working Translation translates that as give thanks always to the God and Father for all people in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the context for the body of Christ, Paul wrote, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And we think of one another. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing in school, or I don't know what you're doing at work. I don't know where but I certainly can speak in tongues for you. I can thank God for you. When I think about you, I can say, I thank God. And that isn't just for the people that you hold close. Maybe even you think of a believer that might have wronged you. Why not just thank God for them? It doesn't hurt you, does it? In fact, it blesses you. It might bless him. That's the way to walk. There's no room in life to walk in any kind of bitterness in life. There's no room for it in the body of Christ. We just walk with a thankful heart. Thank God. I remember that believer. Yeah. Didn't part very well, but Father, I thank you for him or her, whoever they are. And then you just go on, and your life is blessed. Now you're not like everybody else. And people say, hey, I want to go to church with that person. And finally, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the reverence of God. Be subject to one another in the fear or reverence, and the word there is of Christ. It's not God there, the word is Christ. To serve one another willingly, as a commitment, as a bond slave, out of respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we serve one another. We'll stop there this week, and we're going to continue next week on how that applies to husbands and wives and how it applies to our social or domestic relationships, children, work, and those kind of things. And again, all this section, to reiterate what I said at the beginning, is not to earn his love, nor to earn salvation. You can't lose that. It's because he says it's best for us. God says this is the way we should walk for the best blessing of us and for the others in the body of Christ. To recognize your place in that body, the measurable working you have and the value of your life as one who walks in the light to the rest of this world. What a walk. People won't recognize you anymore if you choose to walk this way and talk this way. Why don't we just, in our own mind, decide from this day, Father, I'm going to walk worthy of the calling you've given to me. And then just see what happens in your life as a result of it. So it's a little bit on the walk of a believer.